Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. And in this video, I'm talking about the Middle East and the Ukraine conflict. So we know it's been going on for almost a year now, Russia's illegal and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. But both Ukraine and Russia have got various connections to the Middle East. And just this morning, the Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, who really is a female Pinocchio, she was warning the Israelis not to give weapons to the Ukrainians. You mustn't help them defend themselves. It's because, I think it was yesterday, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said that he was mulling whether or not to give military aid to Ukraine. But he'd also offered to host peace talks, to act as an honest broker between the two sides. So Benjamin Netanyahu is one of my least favorite politicians. But if he were to arm Ukraine, then he would actually be doing a good thing. Just a case, bad people can do good things sometimes. Hello there from Queensland. Anyway, Israel's about 9 million people strong. Over a million of those people are people who came from the Soviet Union in the last 30 or so years. Now, the former Soviet Union, obviously, that's not just Russia, though there is a majority of them, some from Ukraine, Kazakhstan, again, elsewhere, almost all Russian-speaking. I mean, if you go back to the 19th century, I mean, probably most Israelis have at least one ancestor who's from the former Russian Empire. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily friendly towards the current Russian state. But if you have any Judaic ancestry, you can go there. Putin has a right to protect his country. Exactly. Well, it's not under threat. Ukraine is not his country. He doesn't have a right to attack another country, to illegally occupy it, as he's doing to Ukraine and Moldova and Georgia, and committed acts of terrorism at all. Murder in Salisbury, murder of a British citizen, Alexander Litvinenko, in London, murder of Russian dissidents in other countries such as Germany and Sweden, and so on, for gassing thousands of civilians to death in Syria, and so forth. But anyway, back to the topic. So Israel had a fairly cordial relationship with Russia. Putin used to go there, visit Red Army veterans, call it a Russian-speaking country, and so on, despite the fact that Russia had a close alliance with Syria, was their armorer, their defender of the United Nations, obviously went to fight for them, and gassed lots of Syrian civilians as well in rebel-held areas. But then Putin was pretending that he was amicable towards Israel. But, you know, he's very flexible. He's a Russian hyper-nationalist. And apart from that, he'll make friends with anyone, with Nazis, with the far left, with Scottish separatists, with whoever, if it would advance his agenda of rebuilding the Russian Empire. So he's politically promiscuous in that sense. But anyway, Iran's under severe sanctions, so is North Korea. And because it can't really get any worse, the Iranians, one of the things they could sell was their drones. They're not terribly good, but they are cheap, selling them in profusion to Russia. And the Russians were using them against Ukrainian civilian targets to try and destroy their energy infrastructure, to freeze the Ukrainian civilians to death in winter. Probably did kill some, obviously killed some, you know, through freezing them, killed some through just the impact, explosions. But nothing like as much as Russia was hoping for. You know, winter's going to be over and not too long, a bit over a month. And that failed. But anyway, Israel is worried about this growing cooperation between Russia and Iran and money for them. Remember, Israel and Iran are deadly enemies. So that's why I say, well, if Iran is an ally of Russia, maybe we should be an ally of Ukraine. Or now, there might be just a bluff to the Russians saying, actually, maybe we better not source these drones from Iran. It's not worth it, Israel giving weapons to Ukraine. Of course, Israel's armed to the teeth, meant to be in Athens as a Sparta. Obviously, they've got a very bad relationship with Syria. They've occupied the Golan Heights for 50 years now, and they have the two small farms in southern Lebanon, obviously occupying Palestine too. But most of the Arab and Muslim world has really abandoned the cause of Palestinian freedom. Teet Saul, greetings from the Australian Capital Territory. Right, Canberra. So that's about their connections there. But, you know, Russia's a fairly good relationship with Saudi Arabia. There's OPEC Plus. OPEC is the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. OPEC Plus includes Russia. Try to manipulate the price, you know, keep it as high as possible. They don't want to be so high that it really incentivized renewable energy. But they sort of failed on that one, as renewable energy is going ahead of pace. That's why when some of the foreign prisoners of war were released by Russia, they were flown to Saudi Arabia, not directly to any Western country. and Russia's got a fairly good relationship with the UAE. Remember, these Gulf Arab countries are not sanctioning Russia. Trade is normal. So very wealthy Russians often going to the UAE to avoid the war. And I think it was Brittany Griner, that American basketball player, who was given 9.5 years in prison for having legally prescribed cannabis oil. She was freed, and then she was sent and put on a plane to Dubai. So they could act as a mediator between the two, any of these Gulf Arab states. So we shall see what's going to happen. Now, Russia's got a fairly good relationship with the Egyptian regime. It's a military dictatorship as well. It's rather oppressive. Putin's willing to sell arms to them. Remember, Russian weapons at the bottom end of the price range. And why would you buy Russian arms if they perform so badly? I mean, the weapons apparently are not that bad. It's just the leadership, the strategy, the poor training, the lack of morale, the incompetence, the poor logistics. They're just not moving what they need to, the troops, the munitions, the food, even to where they're not issued with the kit they should be issued. There's a lot of defalcation and peculation in the Russian military. And, you know, Putin has really said that's the highest priority, the military, for his 24 years in office. And they failed. I mean, in his own terms, all that money spent, and it's not having the effect it's supposed to, being defeated by a smaller country. But the thing is, these countries like Egypt, Lebanon, some of them are very dependent on Ukrainian grain. And Russia, because of the war, the grain price is much higher, and that people will be reduced from poverty to starvation in some of these countries. Likewise, Bangladesh is a major importer, Bangladesh not being a Middle Eastern country, of course. So he's caused problems for others, but that's one of the reasons that he allowed the Black Sea Grain Initiative, whereby Ukrainian grain and other products, other foodstuffs, were exported through the Black Sea, sail through the Bosphorus, Turkish waters, on into the Mediterranean Sea, and from there all around the world. But Egypt, Bangladesh, Lebanon, these are some of the major purchasers of it. So it's caused a problem for others. The high oil and gas prices is a problem for countries like Egypt, which has got over 100 million people, is not a wealthy country, and doesn't produce oil and gas, but of course has to consume it. So he's damaged these other countries. But most countries are keeping fairly stum. Iran, he's got quite a cordial relationship with them. He likes to prove he's not completely friendless beyond the Collective Security Treaty Organization. But the CSTO, apart from Belarus, is neutral. It's not even voting his way in the United Nations, which is part of the reason he's not lifting a finger to help Armenia when the Lachin Road is being blockaded by the Azerbaijanis. But anyway, it looks like this war is not going to come to an end anytime soon. I don't see the Iranian help is going to come to anytime soon to an end. And that's why I think it's very foolish of Western countries not to lift sanctions. They should have been reimposed by Trump several years ago. Should have been lifted by Biden, but it can't be seen weak and not being Zionist enough, which is what he's not doing it. We could offer stick and carrot to lift the sanctions on Iran, get the oil and gas flowing, get the world price down. That would really crush them. Now, the oil price cap on Russia appears to be working. So maybe we're going for a few weeks now. Russia says they won't sell to any countries which are sanctioning. But they did say, well, we could allow some exceptions. But we'll see. This might well be bluffing. Right. Thank you very much on my channel. So please subscribe to my Patreon. Please donate on PayPal. George Callahan 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.